Welcome to the Unapologetic Vixen Podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. I'm Natasha, a licensed sex therapist and certified sex and intimacy coach, on a mission to empower Black women to choose a life of pleasure, not just today, but every day. There is nothing more powerful than a Black woman that authentically owns her pleasure and sensuality. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the gems. Hey, 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 before we start this episode, I just wanted to leave this disclaimer because I did not want y'all coming for me. In this episode, I talk about the three stereotypes of Black women, and I say Aunt Jemima, Jezebel, and Sapphire. However, it's not Aunt Jemima, it's the mammy. So I just wanted to put that out there. Don't come for me, y'all. I know what I'm talking about. I really do. I just happen to be thinking about that because that is the main name that we use for it. So enjoy the episode. Thank you. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Unapologetic Vixen Podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been minding your own business and have someone walking past you say, "You should smile more," or "You would be prettier if you smiled," or "Hey, beautiful, smile." That has always been such a pet peeve for me. I do not like when people tell me to smile. And at one point, I thought that it was only me. I thought people only did that to me. And it's usually, well, let me talk about it in two contexts that it happens to me. And it may happen to you in more than these two contexts, but when I really think about it, and when I was doing a little bit more research about it, it usually happens in two contexts. So the first one for me was at work. So I would be walking down the hallway thinking, reading a piece of paper, looking at my phone, something, and someone would tell me, "Good morning, smile." And my face would immediately scrunch up like, "Why are you telling me to smile?" My first thought is always, if I was to see someone walking down the hallway or just on their own, just randomly smiling, I would be concerned. To me, that's creepy. Like, what are you smiling at? What is going on? So eventually, just to have people leave me alone, when someone would walk past me in the hallway or when I would go into meetings, because especially when I got up into management, excuse me, I'm a little backed up. My allergies are bothering me today because it's like 70 something degrees here in Georgia. But anyway, when I would go into meetings in management, I would force a smile on my face. I would force myself to say good morning. Anytime I went in a room with them, I would force myself to do that because I recognized that I was one of only a few Black people in that space. And definitely one of a few Black women in that space. So, you know, I kind of just was like, just do it so that they will leave you alone. So that's the first context. The second context would be men. If I'm minding my business, if I'm sitting somewhere, just again, minding my own business, and a man will come up to me and say, you would look prettier if you smiled, or, "Hey, beautiful, smile," or "Smile for me." And again, my response is to scrunch up my face and be like, I don't want to smile. Why are you in my space telling me to smile? And I bring this topic up today because I had a client that I talked to earlier in this week. And one of the things she said was when she goes to work, she feels like it's exhausting to go into that space where she is one of few Black women to constantly be smiling and saying good morning to everyone and just doing her due diligence to acknowledge people. And a good part of the time, they don't acknowledge her back. However, because they are not people of color, it's accepted for them to just give the head nod or do the finger, you know, that little stick up their finger to acknowledge you, which it's like, okay, really? I spoke to you. I said good morning. I'm looking at you. I'm giving you that eye contact. You can't give me that back, but okay, it's fine. So she talked about how that's exhausting for her. And by the time she gets to her desk, it's like, jeez, all my energy is, it feels like it's spent. So, like I said, I always thought it was me. When I was going through it, I thought it was just me. And I kept asking people, why do people keep telling me to smile? Why are people telling me to smile, especially at work? Then I realized that it happens to Black women a lot. And it's not just me. So then I decided, well, let me look into this. Let me figure out, is this a thing? Like, what is going on? And there are articles out there, there's research out there about telling women to smile, about men telling women to smile, and people that are not of color telling Black people, especially Black women, to smile. So, if we talk about the workplace, I understand because I was in that space that there are some things we just have to put on a face for. We have to code switch. It's just part of those nuances that we understand. We don't like it, but we know we have to do because it could turn into something bigger than is necessary. Now, some days, I'm not saying that this is right, but this is me. Some days I would choose violence. You know, some days I would go to head with someone who would want me to smile. I don't want to smile today. I'm not having a good day. You know, how it changed their perception of me, or they already had a perception of me. I don't know. At this point, I don't care. But there were some days where I just didn't want to be bothered. I had stuff going on. And as I started doing research about people that are not of color, asking Black women to smile, it's to appease them. It's to appease them. It's to not come off as intimidating, not coming off as scary. But it downplays the fact that we have, as Black women, we have emotions, we have feelings, and there are these people that are not of color that can walk through and have bad days and frown and be snappy at people. Like, there were some people in there, they were just nasty. They were nasty to people because they were having a bad day. They would treat you really crappy. And it was one of those things where you're just supposed to take it. And if you said something, they'd be like, oh, she's just not having a good day. Or, oh, he's just not having a good day. Just give them their space. But let it be me. Let it be, you know, another Black woman or another one of my staff that's not having a good day. Is they're coming to me and approaching me. She had an attitude today, or I don't know what's going on with her day. Can you talk to her? Because it's just coming off really disrespectful. And it's like, what? So it's okay for her over here to be in a bad mood and be talking to people crazy. But you want me to address my staff because she's not having a good day and she didn't come off half as crazy as this other person over here. But okay, cool. I got you. I hear you loud and clear. And so I, being in a management, when I moved into that management space, I understand what it is. I understand what it is, and I did what I needed to do, even though I didn't like it. But I was very upfront with my staff, like, look, I get it. We have to find somewhere else to put it. So if you need to come into my office and vent, if you need to, like, let's find a safe space for you to be able to do that, because out in the hallway, out in these open spaces, it's not safe for you to do that. And not only is it not safe for you to do that, it could jeopardize your job. I cannot tell you how many times in my life, especially as I got older, I was constantly called intimidating, that I was mean, that I'm a bitch, that I'm not friendly. And in the beginning, it used to bother me because I'm like, I don't want to be considered mean or intimidating. And my question would always be, Well, how am I intimidating them? What did I do to intimidate them? What did I do? I was like, I stay to myself. I don't talk to people. I'm a little blunt. I won't say a little. I'm a lot blunt. I have worked on myself. But a couple of years ago, like, I didn't care what came out of my mouth. And I recognize that that's not okay. But there are some people that I've, like, never talked to ever. And we get to know each other. And they'll say, yeah, you were really intimidating. Why? And a lot of it was, well, your face, like the way you carry yourself and everything like that. And I'm like, but the biggest thing was because I don't walk around smiling. And so that is across the board for Black women. We are just considered mean. We are considered the aggressor, even if we don't open our mouths, right? And that took me down another rabbit hole of research. You all will find that I absolutely love researching things. So I've always known about, and I'm going to do a separate podcast episode about this where I go a little bit deeper into the stereotypes. But for Black women, those that are not of color see us in three ways. I knew about the Jezebel. The Jezebel is the hypersexual, unable to be raped because she always wants sex, promiscuous. That's the Jezebel. I knew the Aunt Jemima, which is usually, you know, the bigger sized woman that is nurturing, not attractive, taking care of, you know, the family, taking care of people inside the master's home, the kids inside the master's home. I knew that one. I was not privy to the Sapphire. That is something, that is a stereotype that I learned. I knew about the angry Black woman, but I didn't know that there was an actual stereotype for it, which is the Sapphire, who is the angry Black woman. She's the aggressor. She's intimidating. She's independent. She don't need anyone. She's constantly going off on people, cussing people out. That is the bracket. That is the stereotype that I did and probably still do fall under. It's probably the stereotype that a lot of us fall under. And so you think about being in a workplace where you are the only one or one of only a few, that is what you are seen as if you don't smile. Isn't it crazy how something as small as a smile can really make people think that they're in harm's way, or something as small as a smile can be detrimental to your job? That is crazy to me, but that is real life. That's real life. So I'm not gonna sit here and tell you, if someone tells you to smile, go off on them or tell them you're not gonna smile, because I recognize that a smile can be the difference between you keeping your job and you being, you know, jobless. I get that. But what I want is to educate you and let you know that you are not the only one that is suffering through that in your job. Because I thought I was the only one. I thought it was just me. So that's how that works in the workplace with those that are not of color. And it's almost, I actually wrote in my notes, it's almost like a, your lack of smiling makes me uncomfortable. It's like, why is it my job to make you comfortable? Everywhere I go, 9 times out of 10, there's something that's going to make me uncomfortable. Someone's going to say something that is going to make me uncomfortable. I remember this one time. I'll tell y'all a quick story. There was this one time I went to a meeting. So where I worked was a hospital setting. And so we would have to go to meetings to talk about the clients and just what things are looking like altogether in management. And the CEO made a comment about one of the players' names in football. And basically, he was talking about how his daughter, this man sat at the front of the table where he sits. And I remember, like, I can see myself there. And it was myself and two other Black women there. And he made a comment about, I think the player's last name is Negras. I think it's Negras. And his daughter was like, "You can't say that," or something like that. And he was like, "No, that's not what it is." And everyone started laughing. And I plastered this really fake, I didn't laugh. I plastered this fake smile on my face. And one of the other black ladies was across from me. And I looked down and I slightly looked up, and she had the same fake smile plastered on her face, and she was slightly looking up and looking at me. Like, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now?" But I am very much aware that if I would not have smiled, or if I would have made it a big deal, then that would have jeopardized my job. They would have been talking about me behind my back about how it's just like, "Oh, she can't take a joke," or, "Oh, maybe she doesn't need to be in these meetings," because that's the type of space it was. Like, if you didn't mold to what was going on in there, then they would kick you out. It was like, it's like this circle, this tight, mean girl circle with men in it. And if you didn't do what they wanted you to do, then they would kick you out. So, I played the part. And now I think about it, which I might do an episode on this as well, about how I had to, like, now when I think about my experiences in that position, how it affected me being at work. Because when you're in it, you don't think nothing about it. But anywho, so that's the workplace smile. Now, when we think about men coming to us and telling us, "Oh, hey, you'd be prettier if you smiled." What? Yo, go on somewhere, because I am pretty whether I smile or not. If that's your way of coming to talk to me, or you think that that's a slick line, sir, I'm here to tell you that it's not. So I started doing research on the men telling women to smile. And we think about black women. For black women, it's pretty much the same thing. You're intimidating. You're carrying this independent energy, and it's like, "You don't need me." And hey, that's not cute. Like, you don't look cute frowning. I need you to smile for me. What? Why are you trying to control my face? You let me know how it makes you feel when a man comes and tells you to smile. Does it make you feel like they're trying to take your control over something that's not theirs? Like, our face is not theirs. Why are you policing my face? Right? It's a form of control. It's not that much different than dealing with people that are not of color telling you to smile. It's a form of control. It's a form of, "I want you to do what I want you to do to make me more comfortable." For the men, it's like, "I want you to do what I want you to do so that you look prettier, so that you're more appealing to my eyes that I have to look at you." That's crazy to me. That's crazy to me. And it amplifies the fact that as black women, it's our responsibility to make space for so many other people. Even when we're minding our own business, even when we don't know someone, it is our responsibility to make space for this person because our face makes them uncomfortable. Because our straight face, or as they like to call it, our resting bitch face, or like just me not smiling affects you so much, it makes you uncomfortable that you start having all these narratives about who I am in your mind about me. Listen, I'm here to tell you deserve to feel all your emotions. And if you're like me, you may wear your emotions on your face. It's fine. It's fine. Feel angry, feel frustrated, feel sad, feel whatever you want to feel and honor that. I'm telling you to honor it. I want you to know that I see you. I want you to know that I acknowledge that your days are hard And there are some days where you're like, I don't have a reason to smile. You want me to smile, but you have no clue what I've gone through today. I have dealt with the most, additional microaggressions than just telling me to smile at my workplace. I've dealt with being the only one or the one of few. I've dealt with holding space for so many people's emotions throughout the day. I've dealt with going home and holding space for my family, no one asking me how I'm doing and actually really caring about how I'm doing, not it just being like this automatic habit of, and how was your day and how are you doing, right? Still moving through life, doing the necessities to live, still taking care of family, extended family, still holding space for girlfriends, for just holding space for everyone but yourself. And then when someone comes and tells you to smile, it's like a slap in the face. 'Cause it's like there's nothing about me that matters. The only thing that matters is that you're comfortable in my space. I see you. I've experienced this with you. I still experience this with you, just a little less now that I've decided to work for myself. But still being out in stores and being out, every once in a while, I still get the smile. Hey, smile. You should smile more. And because I'm in a place where I don't care to make anyone comfortable, especially someone I don't know, my response is, I'm not gonna tell you that my response should be your response, because my response is like, I don't want to smile. And then, they might get a nasty face from me. Leave me alone. I'm real quick to be like, you can leave me alone. But I also recognize when I was in the corporate setting, that was not an option, because that would be adding flame. What it adding flame to the fire? Whatever that saying is. I recognize that. So I just want you to know that I see you. I see you, and I want you to know that I'm here to help you take care of yourself. I'm here to help you just release and be relieved of the fact that you are not the only one in this situation. And it really, really sucks. Sucks really hard that that is the situation that we have to be in at all. And I love you even when you don't smile. You are still beautiful to me even when you don't smile. And life is real. And I think the one thing that you can do is honor your feelings. It feels like you don't matter, but I promise you, you do. I promise you, I promise you, promise you, promise you that you do. Take the necessary time that you need for yourself to refuel your cup. That's probably going to be a lot of my answer for a lot of things that I talk about, but take the necessary time to refill your cup. Because for some of you, you have to go back into that situation Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And if you fill your cup, you last a little bit longer. You can deal with the foolishness a little bit longer. And then you go out and you fill your cup. You find out, you do things that make you feel good, that light you up, that you desire, that you crave, that brings you pleasure, and it gives you that much more energy to deal with the foolishness that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. If there is anything that resonated for you, if you need to talk about it, if you need to scream about it, if you need to cry about it, I have dropped the application to do a call and figure out what is going to be the best way for me to support you so that you begin to live a life that feels like expansion, that feels pleasurable, that brings joy, that brings peace. There are multiple avenues, there are multiple ways that we can work together. So send in an application, let's chat, and let's see how I can help you. So have a wonderful, wonderful day, and I will talk to you next week.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. But before you go, I'd love to invite you to share with me what's coming up. What are some breakthroughs or discoveries you experienced after listening to this episode? I would love to hear. If you're wanting to share that with me, and if you are wanting support to work through those things, you can go ahead and fill out the application in the show notes. You can fill out this application so that I can get to know a little bit more about you, what's coming up, and then my team and I will reach out to you. We'll respond within 24 to 48 hours if it makes sense for us to set up time, because I would love to see how I can support you in having these breakthroughs and really transitioning your life into more pleasure. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Unapologetic Vixen podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. If you enjoyed this episode, like, leave a comment, and share it with someone you know could use the space. If you're ready to tap into your pleasure, join the Virtual Vixen Suite. It's a safe space for Black women to gain support and empowerment as they access pleasure, intimacy, and satisfying sex every day. And remember, pleasure is your right, boo.